Bet on Bears fans, welcome into another edition of Chicago Bears Podcast here on a Friday. That means the good kid, John Yurkovich, in the building.
I am here.
How you feeling, Yurk?
Good. Absolutely fantastic.
Little pep in your step today. I like
it. Yeah, in early. Got to get some things done. Just happy to be able to contribute here at ESPN 1000.
Well, you know, that's what it's all about. You do some great things here at the show. Of course, your radio show. And listen, I got to pick the football brain here, Yurk.
Let's do it.
We're not only getting conflicting reports, but I think it's when you get conflicting reports from beat reporters and stuff like that, no disrespect to the beat, but sometimes you go, okay, all right, people might be hearing different things here. But when the big dogs get involved.
Yeah.
When you get the Ian Rappaports and the Adam Schefters on two different ends of the spectrum, that's worth talking about, and especially when it involves somebody our Chicago Bears want in Ben Johnson. Ian Rappaport essentially saying that he's hearing from people all around the league that the Raiders are all in on Ben Johnson. He's their leading candidate, and that he's basically got the job.
Well, and that's all great, but what does Ben Johnson say? And what's Ben Johnson thinking? That's the guy that's going to make the ultimate decision. Who, Oakland or Vegas wants now, yep, the Raiders. Yep. Who Vegas wants is great. They can have their pecking order of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Same thing with the Bears. They can have their pecking order of what they like. Ben Johnson's going to be the guy making the decision. So unless somebody's getting the information from Ben Johnson, from Mrs. Johnson,
we're
going to have this final year of getting the kids out. This is their year. Make sure the kids are ready to move. We're going to be going someplace that looks like it's going to be – Mrs. Johnson then has an idea of what is and what isn't happening. When she sits down at night after a hard day at the office, Ben Johnson is going to sit there and share with his wife some of his thoughts and what he's thinking and that. And they're going over pros and cons, not just football pros and cons. You know, you got a family, you got a wife. These are familial pros and cons.
Absolutely.
And sometimes that override some of the football decisions that get made. Everybody's got sources. And some sources with specific teams are better sources. Some sources with teams are not as good sources.
Right.
And everybody's got them. If there's 30 NFL pundits that are out there, national pundits, they all got their individual sources that are somewhat closer or not closer. I always told people, trainers in equipment room, equipment guys, the equipment man.
They're the sources.
They're your sources for player personnel. Why? Because if somebody's being brought in, they've got to tell the trainer to get the physicals. They got to tell the equipment guy to get the equipment ready. Jersey numbers, this, that. They want to make an impression. They want to have a jersey for the guy. So the equipment guy was always the guy that knew well ahead of a lot of people. And the trainers, too, because the trainers got to set up the medicals. If you're going to bring a guy in, he's got to call the doc. He's got to call the orthopedic surgeon. They got to get everybody in and say, we're going to the ophthalmologist. They make you take an eye test every single year, eye test, all that type of stuff. So trainers, and that when it comes to player personnel,
yes,
when it comes to head coaches, that doesn't go to trainers and equipment guys. Now you need somebody up top. You need somebody in the big rooms. Some of those guys that are hemming and hawing and talking. Them are the guys you need to know. But then every once in a while, you happen to be in the room when things are being said. You could be a lower echelon guy and still get some of that information that they probably don't want you to have.
Yeah, and listen, I think when you look at these guys, and I said this morning on The Breeze, they're talking to a bunch of people. It might be that neither of them is wrong. It might be that the truth lies somewhere in the middle. Rappaport giving his opinion on the situation, and he talked about basically that it would be difficult for the Raiders to pull off bringing in the number one candidate because of the situation they're in. Picking sixth, you're not going to be in the running for one of these quarterbacks means you have to sign one of the guys off the street. Sam Darnold, Justin Fields.
Maybe Brock Purdy.
You think Purdy's
I think he's still got a year on his contract, but I think he wants to get paid.
Yeah.
Right? You know, with some of the stuff that he's already done, and he'd like to get paid. I don't think they're ready to make a commitment to him.
That'd be a big get for him. But
Kirk Cousins will be out on the street. Aaron Rodgers is going to be out on the street.
Yep.
Probably, if I had to guess, Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the street.
Just a lot of – I don't think there's an overwhelmingly great name in any of those that you look at and go, this is something that we can build this franchise around, especially with where their offensive line was last year, defensive line. My question to you, based off of what Schefter's saying there and how tough it is to get – how tough he believes it'll be to get Ben Johnson there, is the Bears a better situation than the Raiders?
I think it's come out. I think I've seen a bunch of tweets out there that the Bears is considered maybe the number one job that's out there. because of Caleb and because some of the skilled players that you have, you still have to make some sort of recognition of your offensive line is paltry, and you need to make an addition, quality additions, not just bodies, but quality additions to your team. And hopefully they do that on the offensive and the defensive front. But, yeah, I think they look at it. Listen, we lost out on Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
He's gone. So number one is gone. Ben Johnson is still available.
He was their number one.
He was my number one.
Oh, okay, okay.
Well, I don't – the Bears, I mean, I don't know what the Bears are thinking.
Why isn't Dynan McCarthy?
He's number one. I predicted that McCarthy wasn't going to stay with the Dallas Cowboys. I did that on the show last week before it ever happened. So I predicted McCarthy was going to be out. I had to make a seventh choice last week of where the people and the bodies were going to land. So McCarthy, Ben Johnson, I won. It was 1A, 1B. Now Ben Johnson. If Ben Johnson goes by the wayside, it could be a combination of McCarthy, Aaron Glenn, Flores, Joe Brady.
Those are the four still on your list.
Those are the four that are on my list next.
Yeah.
If I got to go past those four,
we're in trouble.
Hey, listen, there's no saying that Todd Monken might not be the answer to something. Todd Monken might be an answer to something. I think Liam Cohn's already going someplace else. So I think Todd Monken, Liam Cohn, but I like Joe Brady. Joe Brady is solid too. So I got no issues. I like Aaron Glenn too.
I'm hearing phenomenal things about Aaron Glenn.
He was in the league when I was in the league.
Yeah.
He played 15 seasons in the league. You don't play in the league 15 seasons by accident. You've got to be doing a lot of things right to play in the league for 15 seasons.
I've heard a lot of good things about Aaron Glenn as far as what he is. Maybe not the guy who's going to go out there and be the best developer on one side or the other specifically, but the guy that's going to put the team first and everything about that team, he's going to bring them together.
The development of individual players come from position coaches.
Yeah.
Okay, when you're young and you know football, you end up becoming a position coach. Sometimes you end up moving up, but some guys like being position coaches and don't mind being that's what they do.
Yeah.
I know guys that have coached offensive lines for 35 years. Why? Because that's what they were good
at. They like O-line.
Yeah, they were good at it. They were good at it. I mean, listen, some offensive line guys that play O-line, they know what was good against them on the defensive side of the ball, and they end up coaching defensive line. Some defensive linemen know what they hated when they were playing against offensive lines, and they end up coaching offensive lines, and they teach those guys the exact technique that bothered the living hell out of them. So it's those guys. Your position coaches develop players. Holmgren didn't develop players. If he did, the only guy he was developing was Brett Favre. That's who he developed, along with Steve Mariucci.
Right.
Along with Sherm Lewis.
Right.
They were in the process of trying to get Brett to figure out what the hell they were asking him to do. And that took a little bit of time. It took 2-3 years for that to happen. But that's what the head coach does. And he sets the atmosphere, and he sets the expectations for the club. Your position coaches develop players. And if players aren't developing with the Chicago Bears, I look at the position coaches.
Yeah.
Not the head coach. If players don't develop, it's because you as the head coach hired somebody that couldn't develop players. So
We know we got problems with hiring our coordinators and position coaches here.
A lot of people fired.
During the season.
Good. A lot of people
during
fired.
During the season.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You gave your list of four, and Mike McCarthy's on that list.
Yeah, it's if Ben Johnson signed somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. But Mike McCarthy, Joe Brady, Aaron Glenn, all of those guys on that list. When you look at those names, is McCarthy at the top of that? Because you know he has a history of getting a staff that can do what you said, develop pieces, put guys in the right position, be successful. I look at his staff in Dallas. Every position group you look at had somebody that peaked or all that outplayed.
So I got McCarthy as my next guy after Ben Johnson. So it's here. It's a vertical.
Yep.
It went Vrabel. It was horizontal there. Vrabel or Ben Johnson.
Right.
And underneath them is McCarthy. And then after that is Glenn.
Aaron Glenn.
Or Flores.
Or Brian Flores.
Yeah. So after that, after McCarthy, then those guys. But Joe Brady, I have a little bit above the defensive coaches.
Do you think Brian Flores, as we continue down the list, can do what one of your former coaches did in Tom Coughlin and learn to massage the shoulders a little bit
When you get fired, you get humbled.
Okay.
So he got fired. He got mad at the league. He did this. He did that. When you get fired, you get humbled. Now, he's still working in the NFL. He's still getting things done. Still there. But at some point over the course of time, you see how he gets to watch how O'Connell treat. Is that O'Connell up there?
Kevin O'Connell, yes.
Kevin O'Connell, how he's the boss.
Yeah.
And what he does and how he gets players to respond. At some point, you find that happy medium, that kind of place where you need to fit in if you're the guy that's going to lead people. Can't be so authoritarian all the time, and you can't be a pushover. All right, so someplace in between there, there's a happy medium where somebody can operate to get guys to respond to them and get players to respond to them. Not only that, but get your assistant coaches to respond to you too. So
my concern is I feel like a lot of coaches in all sports, not just in the NFL, they have a tough time changing who they are. They have a tough time adjusting that. And yes, you'll give them another shot, but right, we looked at Josh McDaniels and we were like, well, listen, he had to learn from the first time being a head coach. Now he's experienced. Now he gets it. Now he knows what to do differently. He didn't.
Yeah,
the Raiders look the exact same as the Broncos.
Right, two-time failure.
You know what I mean? So, like, to me, I feel like we don't see coaches often enough change who they are, and that's what scares me about Brian Flores.
Well, my problem is that you got to put the work in. And when we watched the training camp, there wasn't work getting done.
If you want to see something amazing, you can't get the training camp after he sees one rep of the offense and defensive line go, and then just goes, ugh.
I'm not talking about guys murdering each other.
Yeah.
It's not what I'm looking for.
Putting in work, though.
But you've got to put the work in. I think you saw Dan Campbell when he was talking to his guys in the preseason. They had some video of it. And he's saying, listen, we don't have a lot of these high-intensity, full-contact practices. And when we have them, we've got to go because it's the only way I can measure you up against what we're going to be doing during the season. You can't take this day and piddle it away down your pant leg. He goes, we got a handful of them left. He goes, today's effort was not good enough. It's not good enough. If we want to be where we want to be, and if we want to get to where we want to get, we've got to play better on these specific days. And those are the days where you're racking each other's brains, when you're going at it. That's the day you need to bring your best.
Yeah.
When you're walking through and you're not going 100%, okay, it's fine. You don't want to bang shoulders. You don't want to bang helmets. You don't want to ring your bell. Fine. Not a problem, but you've got to be able to work. The work has to get done in training camp. And if it doesn't, you end up doing what you do sometimes.
Yeah. Let's finish it out here. We're going to do a quick ad read. We got a new sponsor on the show.
Oh.
Shout out to the new sponsor. And then I want to get your divisional round predictions here real quick. But hey, guys, I'm excited to let you know about a new partner of ours in Mitch Lyons Wealth. We just got an opportunity to meet Mitch Lyons
just
in here.
Chatted with
very
him.
Good chat. With him. Can't wait. We're going to have him on the show.
It's a game plan for your retirement, I'm going to have you know.
Yes, it is, Jerko. Mitch Lyons is a former NFL player, and he's the expert in protecting your nest egg and optimizing your income. Go to Mitch Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S, wealth.com. MitchLyonsWealth.com. Your best game plan to protect and grow and win retirement. All right, good kid. Let's finish it out here. Quick, rapid fire because you have the ever important show to go to.
I'm Houston ready.
Versus the Kansas City Chiefs.
What's the spread? What's the spread?
Yeah,
I don't worry about the spread here. I got Kansas City by 10 points.
Kansas City by 10.
Kansas City by 10. Yeah, I think Kansas City started playing its best football at the end of the year.
Yes, they did.
I think they're well rested. Yes, I think their defense is better than a lot of people give them credit for. And you got Mahomes as quarterback. He's 6-0 in the divisional round. I anticipate that going to 7-0. Go.
Number 6, Washington Commanders versus the number 1, Detroit Lions.
I think the Detroit Lions are just a little bit too good, even with a lot of their injuries. Mm. They're getting a couple of guys back. That I'm not worried about it. Jamar Gibbs is good enough to do what he's going to do. Between Laporta, Amon St. Brown, and Williams and the rest of the weapons they've got, I think they're going to have a little bit too much. And they'll do enough defensively to make it happen. And I like their D coordinator.
Got a high scoring game there?
I would say, yeah, probably, because there have been a lot of high scoring games. This one could be a 31-21 finish.
Yeah, I like
Detroit. Detroit, 31-21.
Number 4, Los Angeles Rams versus the number 2, Philadelphia Eagles.
It's going to be a tough one. It's going to be outdoors. I don't necessarily like L.A. outdoors in Philadelphia. Is it going to be cold? It's going to be 5 degrees here on Sunday.
Yeah.
So do I think it could be cold in Philadelphia? They may not get the 5 degrees we're getting, but it's definitely going to get colder. They're playing at East Coast time in the afternoon slot. So I go with Philadelphia here.
Philly taking out the Rams. I actually got the Rams winning that game. We'll see.
No, it's okay.
Number 3, Baltimore versus number 2, Buffalo. Best
game of the weekend. Best game of the
weekend. I'm excited.
And this is the final game. I had that wrong. This is the final game on Sunday.
Yes,
yeah, I had the other one wrong. So it won't be as cold as I thought it would be in Philadelphia. But this is the best game by far. It's up in Buffalo.
Yes.
Baltimore's got to travel on the road. Baltimore travels well. They don't have Zay Flowers, right? No Zay Flowers?
Zay Flowers is out.
They got Likely, and they got Andrews, and I think they've got enough with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. I think they're very multifaceted to go into Buffalo and maybe upset Buffalo.
Lamar finally gets it done. Finally wins that big game. Hey, this is going to be interesting because...
Well, the big game would be next week against Kansas City.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But just getting through one of those top teams, I guess I should say. Yeah. Is this... I know it's a regular season award, but we know how voters are. Is this the one that picks the MVP?
Oh, I don't know.
That picks the MVP.
I've got Josh Allen as my MVP. Josh Allen had better stats last year than Lamar Jackson. They gave it to Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson's got better stats than Josh Allen this year, but I think they give it to Josh Allen this year.
We'll see what
happens. So they've already proven they don't go with the guy that's got the best stats.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Joe Burrow would be your MVP.
Absolutely. If he makes the playoffs, I think there's a case. Yurko, appreciate you coming through on a Friday. As always, my friend.
All right, handsome.
Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. It's your boy, Pat the Designer, back at it again. Peace.